Hey dude, what's up, man?
Hey man. Hi everyone. Welcome to the Hey Dude, What's Up Man podcast with your host, Julia Abel and Wendell McGraven, a podcast where we talk about what's on our minds and you ask, are these people okay? To which we will probably answer no and just keep on laughing. But before we get going too far, we'd like to introduce ourselves. So, Coach McGraven, why don't you kick us off?
I'm Coach McGraven, cross country and track coach at Texas A&M University. 13 years at Texas A&M, as I think I mentioned earlier to Julia, 352 years of college coaching. I think I started coaching sometime in the late 1600s, and somehow I'm still here doing it. So tell us about yourself, Coach Abel.
Yes, I'm originally from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, a town called Keller, so local Texas girl. And I don't let him forget that. And I grew up playing sports all my life, every sport you name it. Finally settled on track, ended up running cross country at track at A&M for the last 5 years, and I'm now in my first year as a college coach at A&M, which is pretty special. But you've probably connected the dots by now. Coach McRaven, co-host, was actually my coach for all 5 of those years. So if you hear me referring to him as coach, it's just out of habit, even though I'm trying to get him to be my marathon coach. We'll see where that takes us. But right now, he's Coach McRaven still.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention, of course, that I am from the Chicago suburbs, which I don't let people forget often. So,
I'm surprised that wasn't the first sentence out of your mouth.
Northwest suburbs of Chicago, went to Wheeling High School, get that Wheeling feeling, et cetera, et cetera. So, but Coach Abel, you are, as you said, you're in your first year. Well, first of all, hey, let's talk about what this is supposed to be about.
Yeah, that'd
Yeah,
be
I
a
think I'm
good.
jumping all over the place. This is our first episode. We're not super pra well, Coach Abel's very practiced. Unfortunately, I am not, being the talent of the show. This is our first episode. We're going to make some mistakes. We're going to jump around a little bit. But what is this show going to be about? It's really going to be about a lot of things. We obviously we're tracking cross country coaches, so we're going to talk a lot about probably college track and cross country. We're going to talk about stuff in performance areas. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff outside of track and cross country and outside of college athletics, because there is life outside of college athletics. We have interests outside of that. We love music. We have very different tastes in music, but we do love music. And we're just going to talk about the stuff that interests us. Much like the show Seinfeld, this may be a show just about nothing, and that's fine. But let's talk a little bit about, Coach Abel's in her first year of college coaching, and that's kind of cool. I've been doing this for a while, as I mentioned earlier, and I wish somebody had asked me at the end of my first year as a college coach to kind of look back on it and talk a little bit about it. But now we've got a microphone, and so we can talk a little bit about that. So, Coach Abel, tell us and tell the people, tell me a little bit about, that transition from being a student athlete to now being a college coach. And I guess what are the biggest surprises, or just, what have you learned in this year?
Yeah, I feel like this year has gone by super fast. You just said that like you wish somebody had asked you at the end of your first year what it was like. Well, I feel like I was just asked how my first week was. Like after my first week, I was saying bye to Coach Henry. For those of you that aren't super familiar, Coach Henry's the head coach at A&M. Been here for 20 21 years, a while. And I walked into his office to say bye at the end of the day, and he said, "Hey, how was your first week?" And I was like, "Oh, it was awesome. I loved it." And he said, "Good. Keep doing it as long as you love it." And that's what's really been true about this year is I can really see like the college coaches, they love it. You can't be in this job if you don't love doing it every day. And I have loved doing it, we'll say pretty much every day. But what I kind of expected was, you go to meets, you do workouts, you go to practice, you go to team meetings and all that stuff. But what was really cool is having those one-on-one meetings with athletes, which by the way, you might have figured this out too. Those were my old teammates last year. And so, one of them was my old roommate. All of them, except for the freshmen, were my old teammates. And so it's pretty cool getting to see like what makes them tick. I never knew what their meetings with you were. Before this year, and getting to see like what makes them like, I loved them all as teammates, but getting to see, you know, their thought process going into races and everything was so special and made me, like, appreciate their work even more than I could have as a teammate. And so that was one thing, like, that I didn't expect. When I took the job, I didn't think, oh, I'm going to be in all those athlete meetings. That'll be interesting. But that's been one kind of, like, hidden gem, is getting to see, like, how their minds work, and everybody approaches everything so differently. But that's been one, I guess, pretty exciting thing, just see people from a different point of view. And I've been pleasantly surprised, and I've, like, been really, really proud of our team and the way they think going into stuff.
One of the things you mentioned earlier in the year that you were surprised at, like, how coaches knew each other and how friendly coaches were to each other. And you thought, like, oh, I just thought you guys went to meets and coach your athletes, and I didn't know you guys all knew each other. So that was kind of, you thought that was kind of a surprise.
Yeah, it's like, we would go out to dinner with people, like, before the meet, and see them at different things. And I realized, oh my gosh, all these coaches are friends, and they all talk about training, and they all talk about their athletes. And we'll have coaches come up to us, oh, how's your whatever girl doing? And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know the names of people on our team. I thought they were just, this is my team, focused on my team. And yeah, maybe I wave at Coach McRaven across the course or the track, but, like, I don't know him. But you guys all genuinely know each other. And I feel like every single time we, you know, walk out of the hotel, we, like, you're always, oh, hey. And we walk away and I'm like, who was that? And it's some coach that you've known for 20 years that's been at these different schools that aren't even in our conference. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a, like, the athletes have camaraderie, but I didn't realize that the coaches had an extent of that same camaraderie that you guys hid from us for years. I was on the team for 5 years.
I didn't know I was hiding
and
it. But
no, we were on the team for 5 years, and I never knew that you guys, like, hung out together and spent time together outside of being coaches.
Yeah, but and by the way, the name of our podcast, we didn't even mention that.
Oh, yeah.
It comes from, it's Hey Dude. The name of our podcast is Hey Dude, What's Up, Man? And that is because Coach Abel accuses me that is my greeting. Like, I think she first mentioned it at the NCAA Cross Country Championships last year. Every coach I ran into that I say, hey, dude, what's up, man? I probably say that to the female coaches, too. Because I call Coach Abel dude all the time. So, and hey, man, to her all the time. But also then at the coaches' convention, I think that's when it really started to stick.
Yeah.
Like, every single coach I ran into. And I do know their names, by the way. I don't 99% of them, I know their names. They'll probably test me now. But, yeah, that's the origin of the name for the podcast is, that's allegedly, I'm saying allegedly, that's allegedly my greeting.
And yeah, you think it would be like, hey, man, or hey, dude. Like, you don't think you need to throw out two generic things like that. Like, hey, dude, what's up, man? And the whole time he's, like, shaking their hand and then, like, bringing him in for the pat on the back. It's the same. And, like, I'm for anybody who has been greeted in this way, he's doing it pure, authentic, genuine. He's excited to see you. But if anybody knows him, like, he's just excited to see, like, people. Like, he's an introvert, but he loves people. And so the hey, dude, what's up, man, I'm like, why do you have to say dude and man? Like, why do you have to say both of those, and why is it the same greeting every time?
Yeah, I'm a product of the 80s, man.
Yeah, come on.
Wheeling High School, if you knew anything about Wheeling High School in the northwest suburbs, you would you'd probably understand. Lots of mullets and muscle cars and et cetera, in the parking lot.
Yeah, so I like to walk into his office and go, hey, man, just to make fun of him. I'm sure the other people on our staff think we're crazy, but if they find this podcast, they'll know. Yeah.
Find this podcast. Hopefully, you know, we're recording for ourselves, actually. Maybe nobody will ever listen to this, and that would be fine. You know, our big sponsorship deals might go out the window. I don't know. So. Okay. Any more insight into that first year? I know you can talk.
The other thing, that surprised me, which, like, I don't want to toot my own horn.
Since when did that start? This is our public persona now.
Yeah.
She does love to toot her own
horn. I don't want to brag, but no, like, I say this coming from a humble stance of, I understand that a lot of people, you know, they work their way up through, quote, through the ranks. They are middle school coaches, then high school coaches.
Yeah, you started right at the top. You started Power Five.
I get to start at the best university in the country. I know. And I mean that. But, like, I am saying all this with the standpoint of, yes, I am fully aware that I am extremely lucky to have gotten a job at A&M right out of college. I don't take that for granted a single day in the last year, but a single day in the last year, I don't take that for granted. I understand that so many of these coaches have worked up and they have a ton of experience because of that, working at, back when I was working at this high school or at this junior college or this D3. And there's times when I'm like, oh, man, like, I feel like I didn't get that part of it. And I feel like maybe I missed out on like that development through it. But one thing that has surprised me is that I was slightly, turns out, I feel like I was more prepared for this than I thought I would be. When I accepted the job, I was like, I don't know anything about coaching at this level. I don't, and the other side of my job is I'm also our recruiting coordinator and I do a lot of stuff setting up our official visits and everything. And so when I started out in all this, I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to do this. Like, these coaches on the staff are so amazing. Our program is a high level program. And with that comes the intensity. And like, you know, at other places, other jobs, other levels, like maybe it's okay to make a lot of mistakes. And at A&M, it's a great environment, but everyone's expected to excel and you're expected to work at the highest level. And I experienced that when I was on the team and I was in school there. And like, you're expected to get good grades. You're expected to, what? Why are you laughing? You're expected to get good grades. You're expected to do community service. You're expected to perform well on the track. You're expected to do all these things. And I think that expectation for the 5 years I was a student there helped me, you know, be a little bit better with those expectations when I became a staff member for the program. And so I do think I was prepared more than I thought I would be. And then turns out we're at practice and we're at meets, and I didn't have any formal coaching experience, but I knew a lot about the team and I knew a lot about the girls and the guys on the team, and I knew the courses that we were running at. And I realized, oh, okay, I didn't maybe learn all this from being at a different institution or at a different level, but I learned all this by living this for the last 5 years. And like, when we're recruiting and we're talking to people and I'm like, hey, listen, like, I may not know a lot about sprints or pole vault, but I do know what it's like to be a girl on the team at A&M. And so I've been really like leveraging that in coaching and recruiting, is like, hey, I'm not an expert. I don't claim to be an expert as a track coach, but I do know what it's like to be in your exact shoes, because just a year ago I was. And yeah. So when I first started out, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm a newbie, I'm a beginner, I don't know anything. And I realized, huh, okay, maybe I do know more than I thought, and maybe I can use where I've been for the last 5 years to apply that. Because, I mean, there's things where, like, we talk all the time in the office, and like, I'm flattered when you ask me for help, because I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I actually could provide insight on that, because that is a very specific thing to our team. Like, what would the people on the team like in this scenario? And I'm like, oh, okay, I can answer that. For the most part in our staff meetings, if you've noticed, I remain pretty quiet. Yeah, yeah. Because I know when it's time to talk. I know when it's time to listen. I know that's shocking for you to think, but like, I'm not going to have a bunch of insights on what I think we should, you know, bring up in the technical meeting, because I don't know that stuff yet, but yeah, I'll learn it by listening. But when the question comes up about something that a preference that the women's team might have, that's when I chime in. So I think that's been the best thing, is kind of learning when to be quiet and learn on the fly. And when to go, no, I do know this area.
Yeah.
But that's been I've pulled some confidence from that part of it.
Well, in the end, it's a people business. We're dealing with human beings. We're dealing with people. And you're good at that. And then, you know, I mean, the X's and O's of the sport, you know, yes, there's some complexities of physiology and biomechanics and all that kind of stuff, but it's not stuff that, it's not rocket science, you know? And so, and I think you quickly learned that. That was for me, same thing. You know, when I first started coaching, the same thing. I was scared that I didn't know enough. I was a little overconfident. I'm a typical guy. I thought I knew everything, and then I realized how little I knew, and then I thought I knew a lot, and it goes back and forth. But awesome. It sounds, I mean, like, obviously I've worked with you, so I'm kind of interviewing you, but at the same time, I saw all this happen.
You've been there for every step of the way.
I was there for from recruiting you to having you to coaching you, talking you off the ledge.
The ledge of being nervous before races.
Yeah, that's
okay.
What I'm talking about. Not a literal ledge.
I was a nervous Nelly, so he helped me through that for sure.
Well, eventually that might be an episode we talk about.
Honestly,
and
it's not life or death. Your parents will still love you, and that's one thing that I learned from you. Honestly, is like, well, I learned from my parents that they would love me no matter what. But I was reminded by you before all those races
I keep double checking with your dad just to make sure.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
So, okay. Well, that's awesome. And, you know, I'm not going to go through my 112 years or whatever, 352 years of college coaching. I will talk about, real briefly, some of the changes I've seen in college, if you're interested in hearing about that.
But you're going to tell me anyway.
Yeah, I am, because I like to talk. It's the problem. You have two people that enjoy talking, especially like talking about myself. No, I'm just kidding.
You're your biggest fan.
Yeah, I am my biggest fan. So you're forced to listen. No, you don't have to. You can shut it off right now. But, you know, one of the things I've noticed in college athletics, the biggest change I've noticed, because I don't want to talk a lot about actual coaching right now, is just, you know, it's kind of it's a tumultuous time in college athletics right now. And for, you know, maybe a scary time for some in college athletics. Because we're seeing potential big changes. We've seen big changes over the last few years. We're seeing potential big changes coming up on the horizon. And some of them, I think some of it's going to be good, because part of the deal is, when I first started college coaching, it was very different. USA Track and Field.
Were dinosaurs still roaming?
Yeah, there were dinosaurs. We did not have electricity. I mean, Benjamin Franklin was working on it, but we weren't quite there yet. But no, when I first started college coaching, college athletics kind of followed the mantra that USA Track and Field Coaches Education. Anybody's gone through the USA Track and Field Coaches Education program, now the USTFCCA Coaches Education program, which I did as a young coach. They talked about athletics. It was athlete centered, it was coach driven. And it was administratively supported. And anybody who's been coaching as long as I have noticed over the years that in college athletics, it really become more and more administratively centered. And, I think you see a lot of the stuff that's coming out of athletics, where athletes are filing lawsuits against college athletics, is part of that administrative bloat that has kind of happened in college athletics. And it's just interesting to see that. It is scary. I don't know what all the money stuff, I don't understand all that stuff. I know there's a lot of money in college athletics. I know college football coaches and college basketball coaches at the highest level get paid really well, but they're also the people bringing in the money, and the athletes are the people bringing in the money in those sports. So I don't begrudge anybody. I don't begrudge the athletes in those sports that are demanding, a piece of the pie. That's cool. You know, I was a college athlete at one point, but I hope we don't get away from the love of college athletics. I hope we don't get away from the fact that, like, in our sport, in track, and some of the other, you know, non-glamour sports like football and basketball, that there's still a lot of athletes that are doing this purely for the love of the sport. But I do hope we see some positive change in the sport. So, and kind of going from that administrative bloat to seeing more of that money going into athletics itself, into what we're doing. Because every coach every coach has been doing it for any period of time. You talked about loving it. Well, you know, college coaches right now, and outside of probably the power sports, we probably all feel like a little bit like we're kind of caught in the middle, you know, from, you know, the administrators on one side and the athletes on another, on the other side, where we don't have a ton of power. But why we do it is because for like 2 to 4 hours a day, we have the best job in the world. It really is. Like working with student athletes, helping people, helping human beings achieve their dreams and goals is awesome. That's why we all got into it and why we continue to get into it. So, I you know, like I said, I don't want to talk a lot about my whole coaching career, but I did want to, that's the biggest thing I've noticed. Like when I, first started coaching, man, and I like you, I started at the University of Alabama. I was a volunteer assistant at the University of Alabama before they hired me on as a graduate assistant. Eventually they paid me real money and stuff, which I was just shocked that people paid me real money to be a coach. But back then you'd had one compliance person. You had, there was an athletic director. There was none of this, none of that other stuff. And so we've just seen a lot of growth in the administration of college athletics and stuff. Now we're seeing athletes kind of go, hey, well, but where's all that money's going elsewhere, but it's not going to us. And so that's cool if that's what they want to do. So,
yeah. And that's kind of the reason, like, we wanted to make a podcast because we enjoy talking to each other. We enjoy talking about athletics and about just everything. But it does come back to that love for the sport and loving being around the team and just everything that goes into it. Like, I remember when you came down for practice one day a couple years ago in your still, I would say, like, more office clothes, not what you not what you normally wore to practice, and we saw you in a pair of shoes, and we were like, oh, are those shoes new? And you were like, no, I just don't, you, I usually just only wear them to work. And we were like, where do you work? Like, it was like a genuine, like, question. And the words came out of my mouth. And then I was like, oh my gosh, this is his job. And like, I think you said the same thing this fall about me. Like, I said something about work or whatever. And you were like, where does she work? And it's just kind of cool to have those reminders of like, oh yeah, okay. Like my brother told my mom, like, well, you don't work. My mom's like, yeah, I work a lot. But I own my own business and I love what I do. And like, she was really proud that my brother didn't think of what she did as work. And so when I said that to you about your shoes, it was almost kind of like a, wow, okay, Coach McRaven must love this because he's never made it seem to us at practice that he was even working. Like, this didn't seem like this was his job, but it is. And like, you know, the bank account, the check hits the bank account every month and I'm like, whoa, I forgot this is my job. And so that's just kind of the, you know, the idea of the podcast and a little bit of the inspiration, not the complete inspiration, but a little bit of it is like, hey, we enjoy talking to each other pretty much. Why don't we just click the record button and see where it goes?
Yeah, sometimes we go off the rails, so hopefully we won't go off the rails. Yeah, here. But yeah, I mean, you talk about it, like, that's what I had the fortune, and I ran at the Division III level, ran for Al Carius at North Central College in Illinois, was fortunate to be a member of 3 national championship teams at the Division III level. I forget how many national championship Al's won. I mean,
is that a 1-to-1 ratio on national championships to stress fractures for you?
Oh, okay. We're not going to go down that. Maybe we'll cover that subject in another future podcast. But Al used to say it's great. He's like, I've never worked a day in my life, and I was like, you know, that's, you know, that along with some great high school coaches were kind of the inspiration for me to get into coaching, because guys like Al Carius, Frank Grammaroso, my high school coaches, Jim Nagel, Mark Saylor, they just made it seem cool. They made it seem fun, you know, to be a coach. And heck, even Rick Benedetto, who was our high school football coach at Wheeling High School, he made it seem like fun. These guys were cool guys who made coaching seem fun. And so that's why I followed this path, and I don't want to dig too deep into the psychological profile of me and why I,
we don't have that.
We don't have time for that. We'll really go off the rails. But yeah, we love coaching. We love working with student athletes. We enjoy the banter back and forth about what we do, and that's where we're at right
that,
now.
That's so. Actually how I got into coaching too, was I thought you were so, yeah, you thought I was so cool.
I actually thought, well, this guy's such a goofball, and he can do this. Yeah. I'm sure I can do that.
I'm sure I can figure it out.
It can't be that hard, you know. No. I'm the furthest thing from cool. But, yeah, so You know, it's the first episode. We talked about, you know, we want this to be fun. We want it to be positive. We want to accentuate the positive things. So we talked about maybe as this podcast goes along, however long-lived it or short-lived it may be, talking about the highlight of the week or whatever. In this podcast, hopefully we'll be able to do this about once a week. You know, we have a busy coaching life, so there may be some weeks we can't do that. Maybe we'll have some time for emergency. We might have to do an emergency podcast every once in a while if something exciting happens.
Oh my gosh, hop on the mics. Let's go.
Yeah, hop on the mic. Let's go. Let's make it happen. But we talked about a highlight of the week, and since it's our first episode, and you are at the end of your first academic year as a college coach, closing in the first at the end of your first calendar year as a college coach, why don't you talk about what's your highlight of the year?
Yeah, and
you're probably going to steal mine. Maybe you will.
Oh, no, I was about to say, I think I'm going to steal yours. Yeah. We actually didn't talk about this before.
We don't know. I don't know what her highlight is. Doesn't know what mine is.
But when I suggested, hey, we should do a highlight of the week each week, it actually, I don't know if I told you this. I know you know we did this when we were on the team, but I don't think I connected the dots here, is we would always, on long run, every Sunday, do a high and a low. And since we were A&M, we'd do whoops and poops of the week.
Okay.
And so we would spend, like, I don't know. I mean, we got chatty and there was a lot of us. And so we'd spend the first, you know, like 2 or 3 miles of the run, like every person going through saying a highlight of their week and a low of their week, just to update everybody. You can't talk to every single person on the team every day. And so that was something I really enjoyed. I looked forward to every week. We made a rule that if you had a highlight and 2 lows, you had to come up with another highlight. You could have 2 highlights and 1 low, but you could not have more lows. So you had to really dig through your week and find another highlight.
I should run with the women more often.
If you said, hey, I had a pretty good week, you know, I had lunch with a friend, but I didn't get enough sleep and I did bad on a test. We're like, well, you better go back through your week and find something else good, because the good always has to equal or outweigh the bad. And so that's one thing, like, you know, in these jobs, it's stressful, it's tiring, but I like that we're going to always circle back. And we're not going to do a low, because I don't want to focus on a low at all, but I say, hey.
I can't think of any lows. There's no lows.
There's no lows.
It's all positive.
Hey, yeah, also, if you had no low of the week, that was even better. Yeah. So if you couldn't even think of one, that was pretty awesome. So anyway, I'm going to steal your highlight, I'm sure of it, because if this isn't your highlight, then I'm firing you myself. The highlight has got to be, I have a highlight and then a mini highlight that I think resulted in that highlight.
Okay.
The highlight has got to be our women's cross country team going to nationals for the first time in 23 years.
Yeah, 23 years, yeah.
Which at the time was like my entire lifetime. They had never been. And so I had been on those teams that were close. You know, we talk about those teams that were like, it was like gut-wrenching that we were like, oh, wow, yep, so close. And like, we have it clinched with a K to go, and then we don't. And so I had seen that like heartbreak year after year of being on the ground floor, seeing the workouts every single day, sharing the highs and lows on the long runs. And then, you know, you get to the lowest of lows where you miss it by a place going to nationals. And so to be able to see this group, my first year coaching, qualify for nationals has got to be the highlight. There's, of course, other highlights in the year. There's been great stuff on the track, but that's just such a special thing because we had been so close so many times. And, like, I knew that was hard for you, seeing us be close that many times, because it was hard for me on the team and then getting to still be a part of it. Yes, of course, it was, you know, bittersweet going, like, okay, yeah, like, I'm not getting to run in this race, but it was still so cool to be able to be involved in it, because it would be way less fun being halfway across the country at a desk job, seeing it on social media, but I got to actually be there and still live it in a certain capacity. And I bet you can guess my mini highlight that led to that. It's not me. It's it's the culture of our team.
Yeah.
We both know there's been years ago, decades ago, not decades, but here, I'd like to say it was decades, years ago, that it was bad. And so for it to be, you know, several years now where like the girls on the team were like, what are you talking about? The culture was bad at some point. And like, the freshmen are like, oh my gosh, the upperclassmen are amazing. I love everybody on the team. And that just like warms my coaching heart because I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And in my head, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy. I throw myself back into my athlete days. I'm like, wow, I'm so happy that there's freshmen on the team that are like, they know nothing other than loving every aspect of being on this team. And oh my gosh, the culture's amazing. And I love all the girls. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's awesome that you don't have any other experience than that. And so one thing we talk about all the time is culture. And if you just kind of ignore it, it's going to revert. And so we keep working at it. And so I mean, no knock on you as a coach, as writing those workouts down, but the culture you've cultivated on the team is, I think, more of a, I mean, obviously you got to have the workouts.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I guess.
But like the culture, bad culture and good workouts, your team's going to suck.
Yeah.
There's
no question about
it. If you had mediocre workouts and a great culture, you're going to have a good team. Yeah. And so, and then this year we had good workouts, great culture, great result.
Yeah.
And so that's my secret highlight is just the ongoing culture. It should be an ongoing highlight for me is just the path our team is on. And like, it just keeps getting better. Like honestly, every day, I know it sounds crazy, but really every day I feel like I'm more proud of the team. And like the culture and the camaraderie on the distance team has I've seen it expand onto the entire track team. And like you've got a thrower, a male thrower, cracking jokes with like a sophomore distance runner, and I'm like, how do the two of you even like have like inside jokes? But it's just so cool to see that bridge across the whole team. And so that yes going to nationals was amazing. That's got to be the highlight. I'm sure that was yours, but the culture aspect of it is something that's even more to be more proud of, because that's going to produce more and more trips to nationals. Yeah. Just one isolated situation, qualifying, okay, but can you repeat it? And I think you repeat it by having the good culture.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You're absolutely 100% correct. I mean, because the X's and O's of the sport, like it's funny. I remember when I was coaching at the University of Illinois, we had a guy on our team who he ran at the same high school, and he had a teammate. This is when Jerry Schumacher, who's now the head coach of the University of Oregon, was the cross country and distance coach at the University of Wisconsin, and he had a teammate. And that's when Wisconsin was killing it. They're still a premier program, but that's when they were absolutely killing it. They had, I mean, I think they had 4, 5, 6 future professional distance runners on their team. And I remember him making the comment after a workout, you know, wow, coach, I was texting with my buddy, and we did the exact same workout that Wisconsin did today. And I'm like, oh, earth-shattering news. Other people are doing mile repeats or whatever it might have been that day.
Yeah, because you guys all talk, you all hang out.
Yeah,
like.
And I'm like, now Jerry's real secretive a little bit about what he does, so I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I hope Jerry's not listening to this, but it always boils down to, and I know culture has become a catchphrase out there, and people talk. You hear like, because Nick Saban talks about culture and process, and so everybody's like process, culture. But it's about a feeling. It's how do you feel? When you walk into the room every day to practice, we walk in and we into our meeting room every day for practice. Are you excited about what you're doing? Are you excited about the people you're around? And you're absolutely 100% right. That's what makes it fun too. Those seeing those a thrower and a distance runner joking, seeing a hurdler and a middle distance runner joking together and stuff, and guys that aren't training together, people that aren't necessarily. They share a camaraderie along with that, and that's what Coach Henry has preached at Texas A&M is build a team. And when you see that happening, and you see it happening in our cross country and distance group, it does it. You say warms your heart. That's kind of that's an apt description of the feeling that you get. There's no question about it. You did steal my highlight of the year. Obviously, that was a long time coming, and there was several times obviously as a coach where you walk away from regional championships and you have individuals qualify maybe and stuff, but you always like, gosh, what is the missing piece? And there were times when the culture, you know, we talked about, you were on a team, we went through a year, the COVID year, where our culture kind of took a little bit of a hit, more than a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, it was not a good year. And so we And all kinds of credit to the athletes on the team, because, you know, that was the challenge. You and I talked in my office. I'm like, hey, well, what are you going to do about it? Like, what are you going to do? Like,
I asked you that.
Yeah, you
also
did ask me that, but you guys are the ones that did it. I can talk about it all. I can talk about it. I can try to make changes and stuff like that. But in the end, it's got to come from the student athletes.
Because we're only at practice for 2-3 hours a day.
Yeah.
So you can't be a miracle worker.
Yeah. I can't. I don't know what's happening. You know, I can't be there with you. You know, in the dorms and the apartments, and when you guys are hanging out in the nutrition center and stuff like that. Eating your meals and stuff. That's when those bonds happen. And, you know, yeah, you guys did. I mean, you were part of that. And so, so we're where we are because of the concerted effort by a lot of people that really cared about it. And that's what you have to have. Because you hear, I mean, like, there are great technical coaches out there that have not had the kind of success that you think they should have because, you know, there's their culture's not good, or they're not in the right place at the right time, and all those kind of things. But yeah, that was my highlight probably too. I was gonna actually, you kind of stole both of my highlights.
Ha.
because when I said I'm like I know she's gonna take the qualifying for nationals. She's gonna take that as her highlight of the year.
About culture.
I was gonna talk about just the growth through the year that we've seen. And obviously the women's team qualified for nationals, but the growth of the men, both the men and the women, our distance group, and watching that growth and watching people mature, people just kind of, I mean, you know, you don't want to like individual, you know, kind of necessarily highlight certain individuals, but I mean, like, I mean, I look at somebody like Cooper Cawthorn.
That's growth, what I was going to say.
You know, the growth he's made this year. Just the maturity and stuff. And obviously he was disappointed not qualify for nationals here, and he's probably like you know, bummed he's not here in Eugene, because he really was a guy that I think is going to be here eventually.
Yeah.
But watching his maturity, how he maturity was as an athlete and stuff.
We talked about that at conference when we were running. We were like, wow, like, super proud of him. Everybody on the team. It seems like there has been a shift of, like, not even just at practice shift, but a maturity shift on our whole team. And, like, we attribute it to those seniors, but, like, that is one person that we did talk about of, like, wow, he is a different person on and off the track, different person.
Yeah. And we've seen that with a lot of people.
Yeah,
We've seen some of them, even young people that have stepped up. I mean, and that's exciting. So I'm sure as time goes on, some of those individuals will probably highlight.
We've been joking about it at practice. We've got to start a podcast, and we've already got that. We already have a list of people asking to be on our podcast.
Yeah.
We're like, whoa, slow your roll, man. We don't even have it up yet.
We don't even have intro music
yet. Maybe we'll get some intro music for episode 2. Hey, you said we're not going to be all super polished. So.
You know, we kind of we were talking about this, what, I don't know if it's yesterday or the day before we were talking.
The days
about
run
this.
Together.
Yeah, when you're in Eugene for a week for the NCAA championships, the days simply run together. You don't know whether it's, I don't even know what day of the week it is right
is
now.
Is it Tuesday?
It is Tuesday. My song of the day week.
Oh,
no. So, our song of the day day. We're talking about it, and I remember listening to Mike Cunningham, who does the Gill Athletics podcast, where he interviews coaches, and Mike's one of the most upbeat, positive people in the world. Loves coaches, loves track and field, does a phenomenal job. He was a track coach himself at one point, along with being a professional poker player, which is amazing. That's a guy we should have on the podcast, really.
Yeah.
That would be like a 2-hour podcast, though, because we talk a lot. He talks a lot. But, you know, he talked about his first podcast. I think he just recorded it on his phone and didn't realize that the podcast app on his phone ended at an hour. And I think he went something. It went over an hour. And so whatever the last 15, 20 minutes of it, like, he didn't even get and stuff. You know what? He published it anyway. It's out there in the in the podcast sphere, I guess, and so that's our inspiration. We don't expect this to be perfect. We're gonna have fun doing it. We're gonna have fun talking. Maybe people listen. Maybe nobody listens.
If we're the only two people that ever listen to this,
hey, that's good enough for me.
It's okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna hate my voice because I hate my recorded voice. We all do.
I was gonna go into radio also, and I don't know how I was gonna do that. Yeah. That's why I have my podcast mic.
Yeah, there you go.
It's because I was all gung ho about that, and
Somehow we both have podcast mics here. we've never done podcast.
Purchased no equipment for this.
I've had this podcast mic for probably almost 2 years now.
I've had this one for 4 years.
I didn't purchase it. It was actually given to me. I'm not gonna, you know, not gonna lie. But the whole reason I had it because I'm like, I think I'm gonna do a podcast sometime.
And yeah, I kept mine because I had a dream of doing a podcast. And like to your point of Cunningham is like, hey, we've joked about doing this podcast for months, and we were waiting to, you know, have our ducks in a row.
Yeah, Oregon ducks in a row. We're in Eugene, and our ducks are in a row
ducks,
in Eugene.
Well, I don't even know if they're in a row yet, but we've realized, hey, it doesn't matter. Like, maybe we'll be the only two that listen to this. Maybe Mary and Kylie and my family will listen to it, and we'll get, like, a collective of, like, 10 views and it'll be great.
Maybe they all stopped listening already.
Yeah. If you made it to this point, thank you so much for still being with us.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you very much. This is our first podcast, and I guess we didn't really think of any outro.
We did not. About 2 minutes ago, I was wondering, how are we going to wrap this up?
If it's usually like most of our conversations with
I just walk out of your office and then I'm down the hallway and I hear you talking.
I'm still talking to myself.
And then you're like yelling, wait, did you leave? And I'm like, how did you not hear me leave? Should we just like stop the conversation?
Thanks. Peace out. We'll see you next time.
See you next time on the Hey Dude, What's Up Man podcast.
Hey Dude, What's Up Man?
Oh my gosh.